Amen. Good morning again, everyone. Good to be able to worship with you all. Last Sunday of June, something lighthearted, get us started. Dwayne said that we never start out with anything lighthearted, so let me start out with something lighthearted today. It's only June, and it's going to get hotter. Kind of sarcastic, huh? They did talk about how this summer is a lot warmer than last summer, and for those who are working outside, encouraging everyone to stay hydrated, stay in the shade. For those of us that like to run and work out outside, be mindful of heat stroke. If you're outside and you stop sweating or you feel dizzy, find shade and get hydrated. But just something for us to be mindful of. Amen. And for our, especially for our elderly family and friends, let's make sure that we're checking up on them throughout these summer months. Listen, we're finishing up our study in the book of Haggai, and we had three sermons before today. Today's our fourth, and we're going to be talking from the last four verses of Haggai chapter 2. If you're using a Bible in front of you, a pew Bible, it's on page 813. But this is message number four. The first message, Pastor Dwayne came to us and told us to consider our ways, how the people of God had stopped building God's temple and they started putting more time into their own thing. And God called them through the prophet Haggai to start back on the work that they were doing. And then I came back the next week and told you guys that greater was on the way. And then last week, Pastor Dwayne came, and if you remember the end of his message or the end of the verses last time, whenever he ministered, God told his people that he was going to bless them. He said, from this day forward, I will bless you. Understand that God only told them that he was going to bless them because they were being obedient. That in the midst of disobedience and rebellion and not doing what God told them to do, there was no way that the blessings of God could come about, but God told them that he was going to bless them at the end of the last scriptures for the last sermon that we went through. And on today, our message number four, as we focus on these last four verses, I want to talk to you from this subject on this morning. If I put it up there, I think I put it up there. There it is. From exiled to exalted. From exiled, where the people of God found themselves, to actually being exalted by God himself. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this morning. And God, we again thank you for another chance to worship you. God, the freedom to worship you in the midst of everything that's going on in our world. We can gather in this place without the threat of harm or persecution. God, we thank you for that. We do pray for our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world that can't do something as simple as we're doing today, gather for worship, that you will take care of them. And God, that you will be everything that they need in this time. So God, again, speak to us. God, move me out of the way. Let the people hear your words. And God, we'll continue to praise you because you are worthy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen and amen. So again, message number four, from exiled to exalted. And I kind of mentioned this in my last message 2 weeks ago, that the reason why the people found themselves in exile was because they weren't doing what God told them to do. The reason why they found themselves being persecuted and outside of God's grace was because they were in the midst of rebellion. And we're going to talk about this a little later on in our sermon, but understand that at some point in all of our lives, people may not want to agree with what I'm about to say, but listen, at some point in all of our lives, all of us are going to find ourselves in exile. And you say, Pastor Taylor, what do you mean by finding ourselves in exile? An exile is someone who finds themselves in a strange place or in a foreign land or not at home where they're supposed to be. So listen, as the people of God, we are God's children, and our home is in God's presence, or within God's will, or doing what he calls us to do, or pursuing him in our lives. So whenever we find ourselves to where we're pulled away from the Lord or the things of the world or the enemy pulls us away from God, we may find ourselves in an exile position. Or listen, we may find ourselves in that position because of our own disobedience or because of life. Because just in case you didn't know it, you don't have to do anything wrong as a child of God to find yourself in a strange place. That as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you could be doing good in this world and wanting good for other people and still find yourself in a bad place simply because of life and how the world works and all of that. But in the midst of all of that, whether it's because of our disobedience or rebellion that we find ourselves in an exilic situation or because of life we find ourselves in that situation, it's good that we serve the God of a second chance. It's good that we serve a faithful God that will find us in the situation that we're in and give us the strength. Listen to this. Give us the strength to go through that situation and come out of that situation. Or listen to this. If we find ourselves in prolonged times in that exilic situation, God will be our strength. As David said, walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And some people find themselves in the valley of the shadow of death for a long, long time. The good thing that David says after that, he says, I'm not going to fear because you are with me. And so if you're sitting here today and you're saying, well, Pastor Taylor, there is a situation in my life that I wish was different. There is a situation where I feel like I'm in exile. There is a situation where I wish things were different. Here's what I'm here to tell you. God is there with you in the midst of it all. That's the strength that we hold on to. That's the power that we have to hold on to. And as long as we do that, I'm of the opinion, listen, again, this is going to sound kind of morbid, what I'm about to say, Miss Evelyn. Either God's going to bring you out of that situation on this side of heaven or on that side of heaven. That the difficulties I'm going through right here and Jenna Mission praying for Brother Clay and either God's going to heal him right here or God's going to heal him up there. And in the midst of either one of those, we trust the Lord. That's the faith we need to have is that, yes, we pray for healing. Yes, we pray that God's will be done here on earth. But if it doesn't happen here, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. I was singing that song all morning. And some of y'all are like, why the old song, Pastor Taylor? Because my mom was in my head all this morning singing old songs. At the kitchen table, and when I was younger, when I was Barrington and Cordelia's age, I would say, oh, I sure wish my mom would stop singing these songs. All day she sing these songs. All we hear is gospel songs. And now I find myself, Brother Jonathan, in my kitchen singing those same songs that my mom sung back then. So those of you that have kids, know that your kids are listening to you. Esther and Donovan, know that your kid is singing Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. Walter is listening to those things as a baby, and as he grows, he's going to keep singing those songs, and then one day he'll be the pastor of this church. Just throw that in there real quick, or the pastor of a church. I believe that God's going to use Walter in a great way to minister to the nations. Amen? Amen. We raise our children with that expectation that God will use them in a mighty way. That's not in my notes. Let me go ahead and jump to here. Haggai, the book of Haggai. Listen, Haggai is amongst the 12 minor prophets. Let's do a little bit of Bible study and a little bit of class study right here. Are they minor because they don't matter? No, there are four major prophets, there are 12 minor prophets, and the minor prophets are only called minor prophets because their books are what? Shorter. They're smaller. They're not long like Ezekiel. They're not long like Daniel and Jeremiah. They're not long like those books. So Haggai finds himself in the midst of the minor prophets, but he has a very important message for the people of God. Haggai is a prophet of God. A prophet is one who speaks for God. A prophet is one back in the day that would hear directly from God and tell people what the Lord said. And there are some people, man, I don't know why I'm meddling this morning, Miss Evelyn. Here we go. There are some people, whenever you meet them nowadays, they'll say like, hi, Pastor Taylor, I'm prophet so-and-so. And I'm like, oh, you're prophet like Haggai? Or they'll say like, I'm apostle so-and-so. And I'm like, oh, you're an apostle like John and all of the rest of them. So I don't get into all of that, whether prophets or apostles exist. I do know this, that God speaks to us today through his word. that if you have a qualm whether they're prophets or apostles still now today, I'm here to tell you that if you want to hear from God, you don't necessarily have to hear from a person. You get in his word and God will speak to you. Now, granted, he does speak to you through pastors and through preachers on a Sunday morning, but this can't be everything that you have throughout the week. Throughout the week, you need to get in your Bible yourself and do a journal or do devotions or get with another saint, a brother or a sister in Christ, and talk about the word of God and hear God speak to you through his word, through fellowship, so that you can know what the will of God is in your life. That was in my notes. So that wasn't a side trail. I'm here to say, as a prophet, Haggai spoke for God to the people of God. And this next slide, whenever you go to it, you see that last week, Pastor Dwayne spoke from the third prophecy, and now the fourth prophecy comes. And if you really look at this, you might not be able to see it from where you're sitting. You'll see that the third and the fourth prophecies take place at the same time. That God came to him with another message at the same time. On the same day, he was giving them a message that he wanted them to hear. And that's what we're going to talk about today, going from being exiled to being exalted by the Lord. This is the final word that God is given in his book. And this final word that he's saying is this. He's saying that my promise is sure. That I told you that I was going to bless you in the last sermon when Pastor Dwayne said, and now today you're going to hear again, I am going to exalt you. I am going to bless you because you're being obedient. And for all of us, if you're looking for some kind of promotion in life or you're looking for something great to happen in your life, I'm here to tell you the best promotion that you can get is God's smile on your life. That yes, climbing the corporate ladder and all this other stuff is good, but to obey God and see him work in your life and to do great things that you couldn't do on your own, that's God exalting you, bringing you out of an exiled situation into an exalted situation. That's what our God does. This next slide is, we're going to read the scripture for today. Again, if you're in your Bibles, the Pew Bibles, we're going to be on page 813. And the verses are short on today, and I'm going to try to be short in my message as well, so that we can get to celebrating our baptism later. Listen to what the word of God says. It says, Zerubbabel, the Lord's signet ring. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Again, the first time was when Pastor Dwayne talked about last week. This is the second time he came to them on the 24th day of the month. And he said, tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. The word of the Lord coming through the prophet at this time. First thing I want you to remember whenever you're talking about going from being exiled to being exalted, you have to remember that God is still on the throne. Do you know that while they were in exile, that God was on the throne? That while they were going through all of the difficulties of being out away from their homeland, God was on the throne. Listen, whenever they were released and Cyrus allowed them to go back to Jerusalem and start building the temple, God was still on the throne. And while they got discouraged and they said, oh, this temple isn't going to be like the last temple, God was still on the throne. And when they were encouraged to continue the building, he was still on the throne. And we have to understand in our lives is the same thing, that God is on the throne. Pastor Taylor, what do you mean when you say God is on the throne? It means that, old school, they used to say, God sits high and looks low. That as the creator of heaven and earth, God's on the throne, holding everything together, watching whenever bad things are happening, watching whenever good things are happening, controlling everything that's happening, allowing certain things to happen in our life, but all with the purpose of exalting us in the end. Did you say, Pastor Taylor, that God allows certain things to happen in our lives, that everything bad that happens in our life is not necessarily something that's brought on by the enemy. I'm not going to fuss about that either. But listen, the Bible says this, that God allowed the devil to go ahead and attack Job. That the Bible say that God allowed that to happen. He could have stopped it, but he said, I'm going to go ahead and allow it to happen. And in the end, whenever you look at the book of Job, you see that Job was restored and his family was restored and he had more in the end, all because he did go through a lot of trouble, and he did have a bunch of accusations from his wife and his friends and people that were saying bad things about him. But in the end, the devil couldn't do what he wanted to do. What he really wanted was for Job to turn his back on the Lord, and that didn't happen. Side note, we're talking about Screwtape Letters on Wednesday, and there's this dialogue between the devil and a student that he has, and their attempts to attack this person who's the patient or who's a Christian and get him to turn away from the Lord and actually not fulfill his calling as a child of God. And it's a great read. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock talking about it. And this week, if you didn't read your fourth chapter yet, it's about prayer. It's about the subject of prayer and how powerful prayer is, how the devil's trying to get the student devil to understand just how important this aspect of prayer is and stopping it in the patient's life. And that's all that to say is that the devil always has a scheme to try to stop us from connecting with God. And listen, he knows that if we get on our knees, even in a situation where you're in exile and you cry out to the Lord and you pray to the Lord, that eventually everything's going to be okay. And too many times, I'll even say it in my life, too many times I don't really understand or I don't really embrace this concept of prayer. But when we find ourselves in exile, when we find ourselves in a place where we don't want to be, when we find ourselves in a strange place, we need to be praying. And in the midst of trying to pray, there's always going to be an attack by the enemy to stop us from praying to this God who's on the throne. Listen, this first part, talking about going from exile to being exalted, God said, see, all these points just jumped out at me in this section where God was saying that I'm not going to let somebody else do this other stuff. I'm going to do it. That I know y'all been through a lot. I know that there are people trying to stop you from building the temple. I know that you got discouraged. I know all of that happened, but since you're obeying me now, and since you're finishing the work, God comes to him and he's saying, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. And I will overturn all of these thrones, and I will overthrow chariots, and I will take my servant because I've chosen him. And this is God saying that, listen, I am in control. That if you look at social media and you look at different things on the TV or you listen to the world, you would think that, oh, there's no hope. There's no hope as Christians or God doesn't have a place in all of this. But in the end, God's going to win. And as they found themselves in exile and as they were waiting to be restored and waiting to get that exaltation from God, the thing that they had to keep in mind, and I want us to keep in mind as well, listen, this week, the thing I want you to keep on your mind is the fact that God is still on the throne. Something's going to happen this week and it's going to catch you off guard, or a coworker's going to say something, or a friend's going to do something, or something with your finances is going to go crazy. I want, whenever that happens, you say, that pastor told me on Sunday that God is still on the throne, that he's still working everything out for my good and for his glory. And that's where the people of God found themselves as exiles on their way to being exalted. So remember, number one, you're not on the throne. Amen? That there are things that we cannot take care of ourselves. And when we try to take care of it ourselves, it's going to get worse. Remember who's on the throne? That God is on the throne. In the midst of this strange land, God wanted his people to remember that. And he also wanted them to remember this. Going from exile to being exalted. Brother Brian mentioned this earlier about humility. And I was like, oh, he's jumping into my sermon already. The Lord was speaking to you, prophet. No. When you're in exile, humility is the key. Where'd you get that, Pastor Taylor? Listen, exile, a definition. The state of being barred from one's native country, typically for political or punitive reasons, being exiled, being taken from the place where you're supposed to be. How can you say when in exile that humility is the key, Pastor Taylor? If you didn't know, God allows us to go into certain situations to see how much we need him. That God will allow us to go into exile or a strange place or a foreign place to really realize, like, I can't take care of this on my own. Listen, two reasons, again, either disobedience or life. We find ourselves in exile, but it makes us realize I need to turn to God. And whenever we do that, we're embracing this concept of humility. Listen, a commentator said this as a question. Is exile where God's people are truly meant to be? And I read that and I was like, I don't think so. I don't want to be in exile. He went on to say this, Caitlin. Is that where God's people are truly meant to be? Because in the place of exile, you lose your sense of security and safety in yourself. And I said, ooh, maybe that is where we need to be. Because when I'm safe and I'm secure in myself, maybe I don't pray as much. When I'm safe and secure in myself, maybe I don't go to the Lord for things that I need. When I'm safe and secure and I'm not in exile, when I'm in a comfortable place and all is going well, maybe I'll spend more time watching ESPN. Nothing wrong with ESPN or working out outside. Nothing wrong with that. But listen, if I'm doing all of that and I'm totally neglecting the God who gave me the ability to work out, the God who gave me the provisions to watch ESPN, the God who gave me the strength to live another day, then I'm out of line. So think about the question again. Is exile where God's people are truly meant to be? Because in a place of exile, we fully depend on the Lord. And in a place of exile, we're humble. Whenever we get to the point where, I'm in this place and I don't have the finances, I don't have the intellect, I don't have the physical strength, I don't have the wisdom, I don't have the relationships with people that can pull me out of this situation. And at that point, that's when people say, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you every hour. Lord, I need you. And so while we're in exile, this concept of humility is something that we need to embrace and understand that as we humble ourselves, as we come under the submission of following the Lord, that he's going to see us in that state. And I mentioned this before. The Bible says this, that God raises up those who are humble, but he resists those who are proud. You find yourself in an exiled state and you're still trying to make it work, or you still think that you can take care of it, or pride or something is blinding you from seeing your need for the Lord. And God will be like, well, you just go ahead and stay in exile a little while longer. You go ahead and stay in that situation until you really realize your need for me. And so while we're in exile, while the people of God found themselves in exile, it came a point where they realized where they had to turn to God, and they started building the temple again. They started following the Lord again. They started doing what they were supposed to do because humility came over them. So yes, when you're in exile, you got to remember that humility is the key. But listen, you also got to remember this. Oh, before I go to that. You say that, how are these examples of exiles, Pastor Taylor? David and Joseph and Moses, the children of Israel and New Testament believers, and even Jesus himself. Well, see if you remember this, that David, as a man after God's own heart and after one who played the harp so skillfully, and after he killed Goliath and all of these military exploits and the great things that he did, David found himself in a cave. That David found himself running from his sons and running from people that were trying to take the throne away from him, and running from people that were actually trying to take his life. David was actually in exile in his own land because, listen, he was in a strange place, in a foreign place that he found himself as an exile. And you go to Joseph. How did Joseph in the Old Testament classify as an exile? Because as the brother who had the coat with many colors, and Jacob made him the coat, and you could see him stepping out and all of his brothers looking at him with his coat with many colors, and eventually he found himself in a pit. as an exile. Eventually, they stripped him of that coat, and not only found in the pit, but eventually he found himself in Potiphar's house, and then eventually found himself in a prison as an exile, taking from his homeland simply because he was showing off. Don't show off, saints of God. Don't show off. Because at that point, you're like, well, was he the cause of his exile? I don't know. Maybe if he'd have kept his coat to himself and not bragged and all that other stuff. But Joseph was just, you got to read the story. He wasn't all with it, because not only did he have his coat, but he went to his brothers and his mom and his daddy, say, y'all going to bow down to me? Yeah. Y'all know that y'all all going to be. And when the brothers actually saw him come in to bring him food, they say, let's get rid of this dreamer, and then we'll see what happens to his dreams. Let's put him in exile, and then we're going to see what becomes of all of his grandiose ideas of where he's going to be. Joseph found himself in a state of being in exile. Moses, after he had killed someone in Egypt, went out to the wilderness. He was out in exile. The children of Israel, being in Egypt, in exile. New Testament believers, when you look throughout the New Testament, and it talks about the diaspora, or the spreading out of New Testament believers as they were pushed out of their homeland because the gospel was spreading and there was the threat of persecution. New Testament believers found themselves in exile. And Jesus? You got to clear that up, Pastor Taylor. I don't understand how Jesus would find himself in exile. Well, I think Jesus's home was heaven. And not only did he come from heaven to this earth, exiled, but on this earth, he found himself on the cross, exiled, a place where he didn't want to be, a strange place, a place of pain. And Jesus found himself in that situation. But when you look through all of these situations, the great thing you find is that humility came about. We're going to talk about it at the end with Jesus and humility. But humility came about, and they went from being exiles to being exalted. And in our lives, the same thing has to happen, saints of God. I don't care how smart we are. I don't care how many degrees we have after our name. I don't care what our background is or where we come from. We need to be humble if we want to see the Lord work miracles in our lives. And we want to see God do great things in our lives. It's not about me. It's all about the Lord. So in exile, you got to remember that humility is the key. You also have to remember, when God exalts you, humility is the key. It's weird how you see certain people make it. Some of them came from nothing, and you run across them, and the first thing that comes out to you is like, that person's prideful now. They were humble back in the day. They were meek back in the day. They were actually people that I liked back in the day. Now they're arrogant and prideful. But Zerubbabel did not find himself in this situation. When God exalted him, whenever God actually chose him, he still remained humble. And through Zerubbabel, listen, God had made a promise to David that through his line, that there would never be a king that wasn't on the throne of Israel. And through Zerubbabel, that would happen again. And God exalted Zerubbabel. He exalted the nation of Israel as his followers. If we obey, listen, he'll exalt us as well. If we embrace this concept of being humble, and when promotion comes, we have to remember who did it. We have to remember again, God is the reason. We have to remember that God is the only reason why I'm in this situation right now, why I have what I have, why I'm able to do what I'm able to do, why I've been able to accomplish what I can in my life. It's simply because of God. And listen, God will do that with anybody. Did I say anybody? I said anybody. God will do that with anybody who actually turns to him and humbles themselves, turn away from their wicked ways and follows him. God will exalt them. People say, oh, I'm too bad, Pastor Taylor. I did so much bad in the past. Or if you knew what I did in the past, you'll realize that there is no way that God can use me. And I'll just turn to the Bible and be like, are you as bad as the Apostle Paul was? Well, the Apostle Paul wrote 13, possibly 14 books of the New Testament. How bad was he before he did that, and killing Christians and actually taking them to court to be put to death? And so a murderer, if you're telling me that you're worse than the Apostle Paul, I think that God can use you. I think that you go throughout the Bible and you see examples of prostitutes in the Old Testament that God used. You see examples of those who were outside of the faith who came to understand who God was, and God used them. And he can do it in our lives as well. But it's all about this concept of humility. The Bible says, on that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. What is this signet ring all about? What does that mean whenever you look throughout the pages of Scripture and even throughout history? This signet ring was like a representative of the person who gave the ring. So if there was a ring on the finger of a king and he took his ring off and gave it to someone else, a signet ring, and they usually wore it on the pinky finger, that means that that person was representing the king. The person that got the ring was representing the authority that gave him the ring. And God tells Zerubbabel, I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. And you say, that's great, Zerubbabel, but the good news is this: we can be the signet rings as well. This promise here is specifically orchestrated and actually given to Zerubbabel and the people of Israel back then. But as we follow God and as our lives line up with what he's called us to do and be what he's called us to be, that we can have our own signet rings. Listen, so the world can see that we represent the king. That this great God of heaven who called us and who chose us just like he did Zerubbabel, he's with us and he lives on the inside of me. And as his representative, I'm able to tell a dying world, you need to be in line with this king as well. And so when God exalts us, humility is the key. And you talk about the perfect example of this exiled person going to being exalted, and is Christ himself. The scripture says this: in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Look at this. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Stop. God served other people? That the great God of heaven actually came down and humbled himself to where he was serving mankind and actually pushing his needs aside to actually serve other people? That's what the Bible says right here. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And because he humbled himself as an exile, God has exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross, and because he humbled himself, God exalted him. People are always looking for get rich quick schemes or self-improvement plans or how can I go from a couch to a 5K in 2 days or couch to marathon in 2 weeks. I saw the other day and I'm like, nope, that's not happening. Nope, absolutely not happening in 2 weeks. They're looking for these solutions to their lives or these ways that where they can get better in life, and the Bible gives us the best way for us to self-improve ourselves, and that's to humble ourselves. That's actually coming before God and actually asking him to show us where we're failing, show us where we're not serving other people. We talked about it this past Wednesday during Screwtape Letters. Show me an area in my life where I'm angry about a situation. And in showing me that situation or showing me what it is, God, give me your strength to be able to deal with this situation and in the future glorify you with my life. And so the people of God were going from exile, and God said that he was going to exalt them, and all of us should want the same thing in our lives, for God to use us to minister to our brothers and sisters. Listen, to minister to our college friends, to minister to people that we went to seminary with that may have fallen away from the faith, or people that we go to medical school with who don't believe in the Lord because I'm smart, Jonathan. I know about this cadaver and all of these things that's connected, and I know how to work a surgery table and all this other stuff, but they don't realize they need Jesus. And all of us are in different situations to where God can use us to help people realize, like, you're in exile as long as you're not doing what God called you to do. You're outside of the will of God. You're actually on your way to be separated from the Lord forever, but there's hope. There's a way for you to come out of that situation, and I want you to be exalted the right way as by humbling yourself and coming to the Lord and asking him to not only save you, but Lord, use me to save other people. Anybody in here have people in their life that they want to see saved, or is it just me? It's close friends that I have from colleges. It's close friends that I have from medical school. I'm talking about roommates that I had from back then, and people that are just living their life right now and with no thought of the future or eternity or giving their life to Christ. And I'm praying, Lord, give me the opportunity, give me the wisdom, God, give me the words to say to pull them out of that situation and to see them on fire for you like I'm on fire for you. But we have to realize that the only way we can do that is if God gives us the strength. I want to be one of the chosen. I want to be that signet ring. I want God to give me his presence and give me his power to be able to be bold and tell people about their need for a savior and tell people how their life is messed up and tell people, like, you need to stop going down this path and go down this path and not be afraid to say it. Because listen, are you really more afraid of offending somebody or seeing them separated from the Lord forever and ever? You were like, well, I don't want to, Pastor Taylor, you know, it's you know, different things in society, and I don't want to offend anybody, so I don't want to tell them that their lifestyle is against the Bible, or I don't want to tell this guy that he shouldn't be shacking up with his girlfriend, he needs to go ahead and get married to, because I don't want to offend them. No amens. Look, let's be signet rings for the Lord. Amen. Zerubbabel was able to represent the Lord, and all of us, we can represent God. And as exiles that have been exalted, in a certain state, we're still exiles because this isn't our home. One day we're going to our home. Our home's coming. But God exalting us through salvation, God exalting us by revealing who he is, God exalting us by giving us a privilege and an opportunity to speak into certain people's lives, let's use those opportunities to tell them about the Savior. And let's believe, as we sang in that song, there's nothing too hard for God. Amen? There's nothing impossible for God. God can do it, and that's what we're praying for. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you that whether we're exiled, God, whether we're in a strange place today, God, whether everything's good today, it's good to know that you're with us. And so, God, I pray for those that may be in difficult situations. And, God, I pray for faith for them to believe that you are going to exalt them. And, God, the same message you gave to your people back then, God, the same assurance you gave to them, God, I pray that we will embrace that on today. God, I don't care how difficult something looks. God, I don't care how impossible it seems, according to your will and by your power. Pray that that we'll embrace your strength and expect to see it happen in our lives. God, we thank you for this study through the book of Haggai. God, how you spoke to us about considering our ways And God, expecting great things to come as we obey you, as we follow you, and God, pursue you with our lives. In areas where we're weak, God, in areas where we're lacking, we pray for strength and we pray for faith. And we continue to praise you because you're worthy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen and amen. Amen.